Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 26 and 27, primarily verse 27, and conclude our study here of this short passage on the Spirit's help of our weakness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after we read the text, if you'll follow along. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Father, we thank You and we give You praise and honor and glory for placing us in Christ. Thank You for the standing that we have in Him. We rejoice in that standing. Standing of grace. We come before Your throne of grace now because of Christ and in Christ. And we're crying out to You in the name of Christ that You would give us understanding of what You've promised in Your Word about the help that there is for us in our weakness, especially in prayer. Pray You would encourage us and strengthen our hearts with this truth. Help the review of what we've seen so far to cement in our hearts and our minds this wonderful promise. And I pray that the new material that we look at this evening, you would open our eyes up to and cause us to have great joy in You. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a broken world. This last couple months in the world and the news, we've certainly seen that. And we are part of that broken world, and even as redeemed people. In this broken world, even as God's people, we don't know how to pray as we should. And that is the main point of this text and the provision that God gives to us. But as we've seen in Romans 8, 26 through 27, that in fact, there is help for this weakness that we have. And so we're going to look at verse 27 tonight, focusing on this. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. But in order for us to grasp what we've seen, sometimes on Wednesday night and in this series of going through different passages we've been memorizing, it's helpful to be slower on it and take some time to review and to progress and let the Lord continue to sink it into our hearts. Because you and I both know that it doesn't take long to forget what we learned. And maybe we remember it, but we haven't had the impact of it in our heart recently, and we need it. We need the same truth again and again in front of us so that the Spirit might use the truth and change us. So far, we've seen this in these verses. The Holy Spirit helps us in our general weakness. Look at the first phrase. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. All right. In the same way. And I have this on the outline for you, but just reminders of what we've seen before. A similar help, this help that the Spirit gives to our general weakness, is a similar help to that function of hope in our lives. And the verses before this verse, it's all about hope and how believers are looking forward to the future in hope, knowing for sure what God is going to do, that the redemption of our bodies, glorification. We are groaning for the completion of all that God has provided for us in Christ. And the Spirit's help for our general weakness is a similar help to that of the function of hope in the believer's life. It's also a help defined as assisting us to persevere in this present time. Look at verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. So the function of hope is that it actually enables us to persevere until the end, right? In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, which means it is the Holy Spirit, it's a help defined as assisting us to persevere in this present time. Just as hope assists us to persevere in this present time. And it's a needed help. Why is it a needed help? Look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We need this help because we are what kind of people? We are weak people. And the specific point, it's a needed help for the weakness of our human condition. Secondly, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness specifically in what? It's not just a general help, but according to this passage, He helps us in what specific weakness? In prayer, right? In prayer. And you say, well, what's the weakness in prayer? And you could give all kinds of things that we're weak on in prayer, right? We could probably fill a whole page on weaknesses about prayer. But there's a specific weakness that's talked about here. And this is it. He helps us in our weakness of not knowing how to pray about specific circumstances. So verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. What is that? Here's the explanation. For we do not know how to pray as we should. That's our weakness in prayer in this specific passage. We don't know how we should pray in certain circumstances or what we should pray. We get into situations in this life that we simply do not know what the will of God is for that choice. And therefore, we don't even know how to pray. And the temptation in that situation is to assume that there's no reason to what then? Since I don't know what to pray for and how to pray, then there's no reason to pray. We may not write it down like that and on paper. We might not even consciously be realizing that's what we're thinking. But when we don't know what to pray, often we don't pray. But the help that we're told we have here as children of God in prayer assumes that we're actually in those situations praying. So what has God provided for us in that situation or those kinds of situations? The Spirit's intercession for us in prayer. That's what He has provided. So Jesus intercedes for us as our high priest in heaven. The Spirit intercedes for us in us according to the will of God as we pray. In other words, as we pray, the Spirit appeals to the Father on whose behalf? On our behalf. So you could put it this way. He helps us by interceding for us. Well, last time we considered what this intercession was like. First of all, it's an emphatic personal intercession for us. Look what it says. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Spirit of God intercedes for all of God's people that are praying at any time. Right? That's amazing, isn't it? But don't let that make you think that He's not specifically praying and interceding for you. He is Himself interceding for you and for me. Next, it's an intercession described metaphorically. And if you remember, look at verse 26. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay? If you remember, the groaning there is referred to, it's either our groaning or it's whose groaning? The Spirit's groaning. If you say it's our groaning, there's two ways people go with it. One way is that it is Spirit-produced groanings in God's people. Just crying out, like a groaning in prayer. Okay. Another way that people go with it is that it actually refers to the gift of tongues. And I just want to remind us that that cannot be, all right? The gift of tongues was the gift, the ability at the beginning of the church, a foundational gift, that such that someone could speak a known language that they themselves did not know. And, of course, it was verbal, because it was a language. Here it says, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. It's not verbal. Okay? Another point would be this, that this is a promise for how many believers here? Intercession for the Spirit. How many believers? Everybody. Did everybody have the gift of tongues in the beginning of the church? No. So that obviously means this cannot be the point. But the right way, I believe, to go with it is if you look at this text, look who it says specifically is groaning. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Who's groaning? The Spirit's groaning. That sounds funny. I understand that sounds funny. But creation groans too, and that sounds funny, doesn't it? It's a metaphorical way of talking about it. Creation groans for all of God's purposes to be done, and that it might be liberated from the problems in this world, right? The Spirit groans for what? He groans for the same thing in the believer's life, doesn't He? Doesn't He groan for all of God's purposes to be applied to our lives in the future? He longs for that. He works for that. So that's the point. It's an emphatic personal intercession. It's an intercession described metaphorically. And here's the point tonight. we're going to progress on. It's an intercession that is unerringly effective. An intercession that is unerringly effective. Now, before we consider this verse and how it shows us that it's unerringly effective, we need to be reminded of the dynamic here. Paul is saying the Spirit acts as a filter, in a sense, in relationship to everything we pray. Here you are in a situation and you simply don't know what to pray or how to pray about the situation. So you're praying. You're asking for what you think would be best. You're asking for what you think is the right thing, but you don't know for sure. You're praying with what you think would serve the gospel's advancement best and for God's glory the best. But in your limited understanding of what's going on and your finiteness, you simply don't know for sure how to pray. And as you pray, the Spirit of God takes what you prayed and directs it exactly toward what ought to be prayed for. Now, last time I used an illustration of going to a bowling alley and having guardrails and lights. If you go to a bowling alley and throw the ball to the right on the guardrail, what happens? It directs the ball to eventually hit a pin, doesn't it? When we pray and we don't know what to pray, we are praying things, right? But we don't know exactly what to pray. Don't be discouraged or think it's hopeless to pray, because if your heart is for Christ, as you pray, the Spirit will intercede for you and He will direct that prayer to exactly what is the right thing to be prayed for. That is the promise here. What a wonderful thing. Now, why does the Spirit's intercession result in this way? Why, as we pray genuinely, with heartfelt faith in the Lord and His purposes and on mission and all of those things, why as we pray in those ways, even if it's the wrong thing, that in terms of not according to God's sovereign secret will, because we don't know it, why is it that the Spirit's intercession is unerringly effective? Well, first of all, because God knows the mind of the Spirit. Because God knows the mind of the Spirit. Look at verse 27. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. You almost think it's saying He who searches the hearts knows the people's minds, right? Because God searches whose hearts? Our hearts, right? Okay. But look what it says. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He who searches the hearts. Who searches the hearts? God does, right? 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him, but if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Psalm 139:1. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. Lord, You have searched me and known me. Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So God searches the hearts of His people. And the Spirit's intercession in behalf of God's people takes place in their hearts during prayer. Now look at the next phrase. So he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. All right. So what's the connection between He who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is? Well, here it is. The Spirit's intercession for God's people takes place in their hearts, and God searches the hearts of His people. And as He searches the hearts of His people, He knows the mind of the Spirit who's interceding for them in their hearts. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit's interceding for you as you pray. And God, who searches your heart, sees what He is interceding. He knows the mind of the Spirit as you pray and as He intercedes for you. So why is the Spirit's intercession for us unerringly effective? It's because God searches our hearts, and as He does, He observes the Spirit's intercession in our hearts, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. But the question is, how does that make it the fact that the Spirit's intercession is unerring? Does God know every mind in the whole world? He does, right? But just because God knows my mind or your mind or anybody else's mind doesn't mean that our minds are in agreement with God, right? Okay, so why is it that God, who searches the hearts and therefore sees the Spirit interceding in our hearts for us, why does that mean that the Spirit's intercession is unerring and unerringly effective? Why is that? Well, look at the next phrase. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit's intercession is always according to God's will. You say, well, okay, right, but remember, we're not talking about praying about things that are specifically said in God's Word. We know that's God's will. We're talking about areas of praying that we don't know what God's will is. But the Spirit knows the secret, sovereign will of God. And as you don't know that, and you don't have all the information in front of you, He does. And as you pray, He intercedes for you. And you pray something that's going left field and is supposed to go right field, and guess what God, the Spirit does? He redirects it. So secondly, the Spirit's intercession is unerring because the Spirit intercedes according to God's will. Everything the Spirit prays is in perfect harmony with the will of God. And you know that feeling, that reality, when you're praying and you say, I don't even know what God's doing next. And so you just think, why am I praying? Well, it just feels pointless. I just don't know what His plan is. Well, there's many reasons why you should be praying, but one reason is the Spirit's interceding for you, and He's always interceding for you according to God's will. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 10. Paul is talking about how he and the other apostles had the truth of God revealed to them. And we learn something here. Verse 10. For to us God revealed them, speaking of all the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So Romans 8, God searches the hearts and He sees and He knows the mind of the Spirit. Here we're told the Spirit searches all things and He knows the depths of who? Depths of God, right? For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You don't really know my thoughts totally because you're not me, right? But my Spirit knows my thoughts. Right? Next phrase. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except who? The Spirit of God. The Spirit always intercedes according to whose will? God's will. And the Spirit knows the thoughts of God. So He intercedes in a perfect way. Why is it that the intercession of the Spirit is always according to God's will? Well, because He searches the depths of God and He knows the very thoughts of God. We only know the revealed thoughts of God. The Spirit knows all of it. He is one with God. Father, Son, and Spirit, co-eternally equal and existing eternally together in joy and fellowship and shared glory and love. So in Romans 8:27, we're told that God knows the mind of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11, we're told that the Spirit knows the mind of God. Now, in conclusion, I just want to apply this to some specific situations that we often face in our lives and let this truth really encourage us. Let me ask you a question. I've already kind of answered it. What does Romans 8:26-27 assume about us? What does it assume? It promises that the Spirit helps us when we don't know how to pray, what does it assume about us? That we are praying. Right? That we are praying. So here's the application. This is a blessed spiritual blessing that we have from God in Christ Jesus, carried out by the Holy Spirit. It's the spiritual blessing of every single believer here and everywhere. But we do not all take advantage, and we do not all consistently take advantage of this spiritual blessing as we should, right? If we're not praying, this ministry of the Spirit is not operating in our lives as it should and could be, right? Even when we don't know what to pray. In fact, that's the real point here. Second, this assumes that we are praying, but that we are also praying with a heart of submission toward the Lord, right? This is not saying, I don't know what God's will is, but I want, boom. That's, you know, I want the whatever car or the whatever this, or I want this notoriety, or I want this amount of money, or whatever it is. That's not the heart of the promise of this, right? It assumes that we're genuinely seeking the Lord in submission to His revealed will, right? Because we know what to pray for that's been revealed. In submission to His revealed will, we're praying and we're crying out to God, but we don't know. We don't have a specific statement in Scripture about this particular issue that's facing us. And so we're praying and we don't know how to pray exactly, but the promise is that the Spirit takes what we pray and He directs it exactly according to the will of God. So let me ask you, are you praying? But secondly, are you praying in submission to God? Is your heart to follow God in His Word? And as you don't know what to pray, you're praying, but you're trying to submit everywhere to God's Word. And this promise is certainly, God is certainly working in that way in your life then. Third, not only does this assume we are praying and that we are praying with a heart of submission toward the Lord, but it is also a strong encouragement to pray. God's Word is clear that God accomplishes His will on this earth largely through the prayers of His people. God accomplishes His purposes in this world largely through the prayers of His people. The sovereign, revealed, and secret will of God is advanced through the prayer of His people. Both His revealed and His sovereign secret will. Turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. So it assumes we're praying. It assumes we're praying in submission to God. And now I'm saying this is a strong encouragement to pray because God largely carries out His purposes and His plan in this world through the prayers of His people. And I would just want to read a wonderful text about our Savior in Revelation chapter 5. It says this, I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. This is the purposes of God, the purposes of redemption, the completion of God's purposes in the world, this book. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense. What does that represent? Which are the prayers of the saints. Now, do you think it is any coincidence that in a drama as portrayed here of who can open up the book of God's purposes, who is worthy to unseal that and unleash His purposes, do you think it's any coincidence that in that same picture there are the prayers of the saints present? That is not a coincidence. God advances the purposes of His Son in this earth largely through the prayers of His people. Okay, so go back to Romans 8. Why is that an encouragement to pray? Well, it'd be encouragement to pray any of God's will revealed. But even when you don't know what to pray, if the Spirit's taking what you're praying and directing it toward the right thing and pleading it before the Father on your behalf, do you think that's furthering God's purposes in the world through your prayer? It is. So even when you're confused and you don't know what to pray, even then when your heart is submitted to God and you're crying out to God, God is advancing His purposes and His will in the world through your prayers. What an encouragement to pray. Now, what areas in our lives should this be encouraging? Let me just close quickly with this. Just think about major decisions of life. Okay? Financial decisions. Okay? Job decisions. Decisions about your future. Those are the areas where we often don't know exactly how to what? How to pray. As you apply God's word to that decision, let's just think through that. Are there any commands of God that should inform your decision? Okay, find those. Be submitted to them. Are there any principles of God's word that would shed light on the decision? Are there any wisdom principles about that decision? Are your motives right for that decision? Do you need and are you willing to listen to godly counsel or input on that decision? Is the decision in line with godly priorities? Okay, just because something's okay to do doesn't mean it should be done right now in your life if it actually snuffs out a main priority. Okay, assuming all of that, you're wisely, dependently making a decision, whatever that decision is before the Lord, and you pray and you still don't know exactly how to pray. You've done the wisdom principles, you've gotten good counsel, you're obeying God's word and as much as you understand God's word, and you've got to make a decision and you're praying and you're crying out to God, here's the encouragement. You are not on your own in that moment. The Spirit of God is taking those and He is interceding for you in those moments. What a confidence booster in living by faith every day, right? This promised help by the Spirit for our weaknesses of prayer and blessing is a blessing in the area of relationships as well. Let's just think about this. In parenting, when you don't know what to pray about a discipline issue, okay, every parent's been there, maybe some of us are there now, or about a struggle that your children are going through, right? The Spirit Himself intercedes for you according to the will of God as you pray about that. What about your marriage? When you simply do not know how to help your spouse on something, you simply don't know what would best way to be pray for them on something. Be encouraged as you genuinely seek God with a heart of submission to Him. He will intercede for you according to the will of God. Think about this one. As you minister to someone, often as I minister to someone, the situation is so complex or so complicated through sin and results of sin that I often find myself in a situation of saying, I don't know what to say or do next. I don't even know how to pray about what to say or do next. Well, when you go, you know, if you're on mission, you're going to be ministering to people. Okay, and as you're ministering to people, as you're encouraging, as you're getting to know them, you're going to get in those situations and you can go to the Lord in prayer and know that the Spirit Himself intercedes for you. And it's always in perfect harmony with the will of God. So my encouragement to us is this, according to this text, pray, even when you don't know what to pray. Pray in submission to God's revealed will, knowing full well that He will take your requests in submission to His secret will. And then finally, be really encouraged to pray. Don't be discouraged to not know what to pray, but be really encouraged to pray. And God will do a great work in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these promises to us. And I pray that we would have great confidence in knowing the Spirit knows exactly what we need according to your will. Help us to be prayers, and that we would pray even when we're confused, and that you would draw us near to yourself, and we would see how you are answering requests perfectly in the way that you designed. Thank you for these encouragements. In Jesus' name, amen.